Welcome back to the Everything Bagel podcast. This is Shelby.
This is Emily. And today we are going to be talking about my birth story.
Yeah, Emily's birth story. But before we get into that, Emily just finished The Vampire Diaries season one.
Yas.
And I mean, if you don't know this already, I, Shelby, am obsessed with it. So I forced Emily to watch it. But what are your thoughts so far?
I think I'm into it now.
Good, good. The season finale of that season was crazy.
It was so funny. I was Marco Poloing Shelby at the perfect time. I was like screaming. It was good.
I think we can give spoilers a little bit. If you haven't watched, maybe just skip a couple minutes. But Emily was Marco Poloing me when supposedly Elena and Damon kiss, but technically it's not them. But I don't think.
What?
Well, because I
saw that Catherine came back.
Yeah, Catherine came back.
Wait, no.
And I don't think I really spoiled it for you, but you see Catherine go into the house and do all of the shiz with John, cutting off his fingers and stuff. But yeah. Wait, let's jump right in.
I feel like so many people love talking about birth stories.
I just love that whole, like, pregnancy, birth. It's such an amazing thing and a miracle, honestly. When you really dive deep into it, it's so cool.
Yeah, and it is really cool.
I think you should start from conception. Just kidding. No. Start from, like, how what? Pregnancy
went. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'll start from the very beginning. I'm not going to leave no detail out. Like, I'll tell you everything that you want to know. And overall, I just think the journey, like, throughout pregnancy and then my thoughts on birth, like, after giving birth is just so cool how things change and how much I learned through the process. And then also, just overall, I am very grateful for everything went. So I don't want anyone getting on my back about that. Because it all went amazingly. But I'm going to give you every detail because it still is really hard.
Yeah.
Just the whole process. Mean,
even everyone wants, like, a good pregnancy, healthy birth, but that doesn't mean that it's not hard, you know. Yeah. And it's always going to be hard no matter what happens, but I'm excited. You should go. I want to ask, I love asking this question. Did you know that you were pregnant, like, before you found out?
Oh, okay. No. So what I took a pregnancy test because I was trying to convince because I was convinced I wasn't pregnant because we were very lucky in how easily we got pregnant. So I thought, there's no way it's that easy. There's no way I'm already pregnant. And I,
because it happened first try, right?
Pretty much.
Or like first-ish.
Like first-ish. That's a complicated question, but not to
we
get.
We don't want to get into not those that details.
Yeah. But Dallin was like, I think you're late. And I was like, nah, I'm only like a day late. That doesn't count. And he's like, I think you should take a test. Anyway, so I took a test fully expecting it to be negative. Like I knew it was going to be negative, and then it was positive, and I was super shocked. And I just I just shut down. Because I was so shocked. I just hadn't processed it yet. Dallin came home like an hour later from work. But he was working in the home office. And I remember just going into the office and just like sitting there staring at him. And he was like, hi. And I was like, hey. He was like, what's up? I'm like, I took a pregnancy test. And he was like, okay.
Was he excited?
Yeah, and he was like, he didn't believe me. He was like, what did it say? And I said, it was positive. And I just was so shocked. I was like, had no emotion. I was just processing.
And what was his reaction?
Like, he was like, no. He's like, you're joking. Like, you're pulling my leg. And I was like, do you want to see it? And he was like, yeah. So we ran to the bathroom. And I showed it to him. And then, like, he started freaking out. And, like,
did you take, like, another one to be like, I want to be sure that this is
confirmed? It was such a clear line.
And you're like, this
is the chances definite. Of a false positive are so low.
Yeah.
That I was like, there's, like, it's positive. And then I made an appointment and all that jazz. So.
But were you guys excited? Like, was
Dawn? Yeah. We wanted it. It wasn't a surprise.
Yeah.
We just decided to, like, stop using birth control and see what happens. And then it happened, like, within a month or two.
That is so, so crazy.
I just didn't think it would happen that fast. Anyways, so, like, when I was first pregnant, thinking about my delivery, people would ask, like, are you going to get an epidural? And I was like, yeah, duh. Like, why wouldn't I? Why would I put myself through that pain when I can just relax and, like, have a chill delivery? And I was all for that. But people and things would, like, plant little seeds in my head. And those seeds over time grew. And so I talked to a few people who were like, I did a natural birth and it was just so amazing. And I was like, okay, I don't know if that's for me.
Yeah.
But the more research I did, the more I was on board. So my mindset did, like, a total 180.
So, like, what, I mean, besides those little seeds being planted, what really changed your mind? Like, what made you want to try it natural?
There were a few specific points that I really liked about the idea of natural birth. One of them being reduced risk of postpartum depression, because you have more oxytocin, natural oxytocin in your system.
And does the epidural, like, suppress that?
Well, it's complicated.
Yeah.
When, not necessarily the epidural, but if you get Pitocin, which is the medicine they use to induce you.
Mm-hmm. Which can make it super intense.
Yes.
I've heard.
You pretty much have to get an epidural. Most people can't, they can't handle the contractions when you have Pitocin in your system.
Yeah.
So you have to get an epidural. Right? So they kind of go hand in hand. Pitocin is basically artificial oxytocin.
Yeah.
So your body will stop producing it naturally during labor.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
And so when you don't produce natural oxytocin, there's a few negative side effects. Like, you're more prone to postpartum depression. By the way, I'm no expert. I'm no medical expert. I haven't gone through any medical training. This is all just stuff I learned personal from people experience. And from the internet. So take everything I say with a grain of salt if you must.
As a woman, it's like, I feel like it's so, like, you want to know about this. At least for me, mm-hmm. I, like, want to know everything about it. And I want to feel, oh, there's a motorcycle. I wonder if you can hear that.
Yeah. The other thing about a natural birth that I heard is that the recovery is going to be a lot better.
Yeah.
Because you can feel your body and you can move around. Like, when you have an epidural, you can't feel, like, your legs for a while, so you can't move. My mom had 4 kids. Her first 3 kids, she did natural. And then me, her 4th, she did with an epidural. And she's just said she really liked her natural births better.
That's
interesting. And people say you're less likely to tear, or you're likely to tear less if you do natural birth because you can feel what's happening.
That's the thing that scares me the most with giving birth is tearing.
That's what scared me the most, but I did tear quite a bit. And it's okay. Like, you survive.
Could you...
Your tissue, recovers quickly down there.
Yeah. Was it just, like, was it a tear on the outside or did it go inside too?
I don't even know.
Yeah.
It was a second degree tear. Like, it was pretty bad, but it's also very normal.
Yeah.
So this is how my thought process shifted. So then I thought, okay, all these benefits sound amazing. So here's where I'm sitting now. And when I went into labor was, I want to do all the preparations for a natural birth. Like, I want to take classes and stuff to help me prepare.
Mm-hmm.
But, and I think this is so important for everybody it's so important to still have an open mind.
Yeah.
If you are dead set on a type of birth, it can go wrong in more ways.
It's good to plan to go against your plan.
Yeah. Like, keep an open mind. You have to go with the flow. Sometimes unexpected things happen during birth and you have to shift your plan, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. I think that was where I did really well, and I'm really proud of myself and my, like, delivery, because I was able to shift my plan and say, this is what I need now. Mm-hmm. And I think that's part of the reason why everything went so smoothly for me, is because I wasn't so stubborn that I wasn't going to change my birth plan.
But what kind of classes did you take to physically and mentally prepare yourself?
So I did some research. I found this 6-week course taught by a doula. And I really liked it. I think it was perfect for my needs and my wants. It was a really good deal too, I feel like. It was 6 weeks, one class a week. I think the classes were like an hour and a half.
Hmm.
And I really wanted something for Dallin and I. So my plan was to
husband has to do a little bit of work.
Yeah. My plan was to give birth in a hospital. At the time, I was with an OBGYN group. Mm-hmm. And I went with that group because there was a specific doctor that I really liked and she was recommended to me. I do prefer women doctors, but the problem with the group was there were so many OBs.
Mm-hmm.
And you would just get whoever was on call that day.
Yeah.
Anyways.
With the OBs or the midwives?
The OBs.
Oh.
Same with the midwife group.
Yeah.
Anyways, we'll come back to that later, but with the class, so I found this class, I waited a little bit too long. Because the last class was like the week of my due date. Aww. And so I'm like, hopefully I don't have the baby by then. But it was taught by a doula. It was geared more towards natural birth, but it was a very well-rounded class. Like, she would teach you and your partner about all the stages of labor, which I think is really important to just have you and your partner educated, first of all. Just knowing what's happening with your body and, like, it is so important for you and your partner, so your husband doesn't freak out and not know. I think it's so helpful.
It's actually shocking to me how many women go through pregnancy and the whole birthing mm-hmm. process not knowing, like, just mm-hmm. those simple phases of, like, childbirth and, like, pregnancy. I like to know those things, even though I'm not pregnant. I've never had a baby.
Yeah.
It's just good to be informed. And I think it's great for the husband to also be informed and know what's going on, just so neither of you freak out about anything. And it probably helped you go into the process with a little bit more peace of mind, would you say?
Yeah. Which is also funny how my mindset shifted during pregnancy, because when I first got pregnant, I'm like, my body will know what to do. Like, it's a natural thing. I don't need to, like, do too much research. I'm just going to let my body do its thing and, like, let everything take its course. But then throughout pregnancy, I'm like, no, it's really important that we're educated. And I'm so glad that I changed my mind about that. I was just going to go with the flow. And
I'm like, hey. What's wrong with me, actually? I think I just didn't want to put in the work. But then the more research I did, I'm like,
no, I really do want to put in the work to have the experience that I want to have.
Mm-hmm.
So the course was really awesome. We learned about the stages of labor. It was taught by a doula who usually are more biased towards doing natural births. And a lot of people who do natural births hire a doula.
Yeah.
So a doula is basically just a birthing coach. They don't have any medical training, so you don't have to go to school to be a doula. Can
basically be your voice in the hospital, right?
Yeah. And that's mainly what they do, is just coach you through the birthing process, support you through your birth plan, be your advocate. So doulas are awesome. I did not want to hire a doula, partly because I'm like, I'll just save myself some money, I don't need a doula. Also, I'm just a very, like, with those types of things, I prefer to be more private. Like, I didn't want anyone in the room besides my husband. It's like, I didn't want my mom. Yeah, I didn't want anyone besides, like, the nurses, the doctor, and Dallin. I didn't want a doula. I didn't want my mom or, like, anybody.
See, I'm the opposite. I'm like, I want everybody
in the room. Okay, I'm going to be in your birth room.
Please do.
I would love that so much.
If I can have, like, I want my mom, Abe, probably yep. my siblings, yeah. just whoever really wants to be there. But I don't know, maybe my mind will change once I get yeah. pregnant and actually think know. About
Things
it a little bit.
Things change a lot when you're pregnant.
But I'm like, I love that support, but I also like my space and my personal time, so my mind probably will change. Yeah. Anyway, keep going.
Yeah, no, you're good. So my goal for taking this course was to help Dallin help me so I don't have to hire a doula. And I think it's really important that they have a job too, because yeah. otherwise they feel anxious in the in the delivery room, like, what am I supposed to do? But if they have a job. So like, she taught us all sorts of counter pressure techniques, which is things you can do to help with the pain and help you get through contractions easier. So my goal was like, I want to go for a natural birth, but if I have to end up with an epidural, that's okay. Like, I'm not going to be mad about it. And I'm just going to go labor naturally for as long as possible. And that's exactly what happened. But the one really interesting thing that happened, I did tell the doula that was teaching the class. She was like, a lot of doulas are very biased against doctors and hospitals. And I was okay with that. Like, I personally, like, you want to give birth in the place where you feel comfortable. And that's why I understand a lot of people want to do home births. For me, I've only had good experiences in hospitals. And I feel comfortable there. And I trust the hospital that I had chosen and trust the providers. So I was happy with my decision to do hospital birth, but try to do natural as long as I can.
Yeah.
And the doula that was teaching the class was like, in the nicest way possible, she was like, you know, I would really recommend doing a midwife.
And not an OB.
If you really want to do natural, I think that they'll be better at supporting you. So I took that into consideration. And then a week and a half before my due date, I just felt so strongly. I'm like, I need to get a midwife. Because I just kept going to my appointments and kept seeing these OBs that I didn't know. Like, every appointment, I would meet a new OB. And I'm like, I don't know any of you personally, and you're going to deliver my child, and I don't even know if I trust you or not.
That's so hard.
And I realized, like, you know what? I really do prefer women. And so I'm like, I don't want to be uncomfortable delivering. I want to be 100% comfortable.
Yeah. So were some of the OBs men?
All of them.
All of them were?
Yes.
Whoa. And then were the midwives?
There was only one OB within my group that was a woman, and I really liked her.
But then I realized I can't stay with this group if I'm not going to get her.
Yeah.
If I'm just going to get all the, like, you know, you can't choose who you get
when they deliver you. It's whoever's on call.
Yeah.
At the hospital. So I was like, you know what? This is silly. I'm going to switch to midwife group. So I called the midwife group that was closest to me that I knew a lot of people had gone with. They were like, we don't have any appointments available until like a month after your due date. And they have to see you before they deliver you. They have to have an appointment with you.
So I called the other one, which was in American Fork. Yeah. And
she was so nice. She was like, if you come right now... I think she was maybe even on her lunch break or about to go on lunch.
In that moment.
She's like, can you, how close do you live? I'm like, 15 minutes. And she's like, if you come right now, I'll see you.
And I was like, okay, I'm on my way. And it was so funny
because I was on my way to American Fork to get maternity pictures done.
Oh.
I was literally driving to American Fork. And she goes, can you come right now? I was like, yes, I'm on my way.
And that's perfect.
And I called Gidge and I was like, I am going to be late.
It's like divine alignment. Yeah.
So I went and saw her and it was like a total 180. Because like when you go to your appointments with your OB, they're like, the nurse practitioner just takes your blood pressure, measures your belly, asks how you're doing. The OB checks you. I was far enough along that they were doing cervical checks to see if I was dilated. And then they're like, do you have any questions? No? Okay. And that was it.
So just so quick. No.
So quick.
No personal time.
No,
really.
And not that I had a problem with them. Like, my pregnancy had no complications.
Yeah.
The difference I felt between the OBs and the midwife, the midwife cared about me and the baby. And I feel like the OBs just care about delivering your baby and not actually what you want. They're just going to deliver your baby the best, fastest most convenient way possible.
For them. Yeah. Really.
Yeah, exactly. And the midwife was like, tell me about, she like sat down. She was so patient. She's like, tell me about what you envision your birth looking like.
Oh, wow. I was You're like whoa.
I know. I was like, complete flip. Totally. Complete flip. I was like, I'm sold. So, and she was so nice. And I just told her everything that I told you was just, I want to do natural birth, but I'm not going to be
so dead set on it that I can't change. She, in this point, I was 39
weeks.
39. Yeah, I was almost 39 weeks.
Mm. I was like one day away from 39.
So you were like, almost. I didn't realize a little you over, switched yes, that far along.
I
know,
which was crazy. People were like, what are you doing?
But I just knew like I had to. It was perfect. Perfect yeah. timing.
So at the end of the appointment, she's like, do you want me to sweep your membranes? And I was like, oh my gosh, I don't know. I haven't thought about it. Because sweeping your membranes is when they separate the
embryonic sac.
Yeah.
I'd probably just made that
the
up.
The something sac. Okay. You know what I'm talking about. Yeah. Where the baby is in and yes. all the fluid is in.
They basically just separate the sac from your cervix.
Oh, okay.
Which can induce labor and can soften your cervix.
Ooh.
So
I've actually never heard that before.
So and I had known several people who were like, when I got my membranes sweeped, I went into labor so fast.
Mm-hmm. So it basically speeds things along. And
I really wanted to have this baby before Thanksgiving. Because yeah. he was due on Thanksgiving. And I wanted so bad to have him before Thanksgiving. So even though I really wanted to go into labor naturally and like do all this naturally, I was also very motivated to get him out.
Yeah. But I did not want to be induced.
I was like, I will not get Pitocin. Even more so than the epidural. I didn't want Pitocin.
Well, yeah, I feel like just because it intensifies everything, yeah. that's a very unwanted drug yeah,
exactly.
for child labor.
So,
child labor.
But a lot of people don't go into labor naturally.
Yeah.
So they have to get Pitocin because their body just doesn't go into labor. Luckily, so at that appointment, I was already 80% effaced, which is actually pretty far along.
Mm-hmm. So that means my cervix was
80% thinned.
Mm.
And they need it like 100%, basically.
Yeah. Were you dilated at all?
I was not dilated. I was at like a 1.
Mm.
So not really.
But you were still
And I had been at a 1 for weeks.
Okay.
Like a couple weeks. But I was 80% effaced. So that's actually really good. A lot better than a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
And she sweeped my membranes.
Did that hurt?
No. A lot of people say getting your membranes stripped
hurts really bad.
Uh-huh.
But it didn't. And I think maybe it's because I was effaced so far.
Mm. I'm thinking maybe if you're not effaced,
so
it hurts.
You were like softened a little bit.
Yeah. So for me, it was just like a prolonged cervical check.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Like it wasn't that much.
Was
more
it
painful.
Kind of like a pap smear? I've actually never had a pap smear.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. That they're very different.
Yeah.
Things.
It's uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole nothing's was, comfortable about this whole process.
Comfortable, but people that are like, it was excruciatingly painful. I'm like, I just didn't experience that. I think it's different for everyone, depending on maybe how effaced you are.
Yeah.
That's my theory, but I don't know how true that is.
So I actually called Dallin. I was like, should I have her sweep my membranes? Because I'm like, this could mean I go into labor tomorrow.
Yeah.
Or some people, it doesn't do anything.
So how... So if he was due on Thanksgiving Day, this mm-hmm. was this like a
this
week
This was the
before?
Wednesday before.
Okay.
So 8 days prior
okay.
to the due date.
And she sweeped my membranes. And then I went and did my maternity shoot. And I feel like I just knew because I started getting like very mild period cramps like within hours of that appointment. And anyway, she was so nice. She was like, okay, well, maybe I'll see you in a few days at the hospital.
You know, like maybe you'll go into labor. And I'm like, maybe I will.
Did you have like Braxton Hicks or anything before that?
I did. Not super intense. It was mostly triggered when I would like go on walks.
Oh, okay.
And my stomach would just get so tight. But I could mostly feel it, like physically feel it with my hand, not as much feel it internally.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, I would have a few, but I didn't get them until right up at the end.
Yeah, which is
like
probably
right,
pretty
like
normal.
That week.
Yeah.
I didn't get them super. Some people get them the entire last month.
You know? Yeah.
Like starting 6 weeks out, they start asking you, "Do you have Braxton Hicks? Do you have Braxton Hicks at your appointments?"
Interesting. I wonder what like triggers those. I mean, I'm sure physical activity,
exercise will definitely trigger it, but also just sometimes you're close enough to your due date that you start getting practice contractions. Yeah. It's really just your body practicing to go into labor.
Totally.
But it's not real labor.
Yeah. But anyway, anyways, keep going. Your midwife was like, maybe I'll see you soon.
So
the next, so that was Wednesday. On Thursday, I was definitely like very mild period cramps all day. And I'm like, I definitely feel like this baby's coming.
Yeah.
Like, I really feel like, and so I just knew, but I also didn't want to get my hopes up. Yeah. So deep down, I knew he was coming, but I like didn't want to psych myself out. Mm-hmm. So I was trying to just be chill about it. Like, oh, whatever. I'll just keep going on with my life.
I like went out to lunch that day and was just like pretending like everything is normal. But really, I just feel this like excitement.
Yeah.
Which is so fun. And I got my house ready. I was like, Mom, you have to come over and help me, like, clean my house, please, and, like, get everything ready.
Before that, sorry, I just keep interrupting, you're good. Before that, did you feel the need to nest, like, the nesting instinct? Or was it more so just when you were like, okay, this baby might actually come in a couple days?
Yeah, I definitely was nesting beforehand, but, I mean, it wasn't anything crazy. I was just organizing my house and, like, getting the pack and play set up with the bassinet. And,
yeah, totally.
I had Eliza come over when I was nesting to help me clean because I was also doing school.
Yeah.
So I was stressed about getting my schoolwork done ahead of time. I was trying to get ahead on school and clean my house and get ready for baby.
Yeah. So do you feel like Dallin got the nesting need at all? Because I know sometimes it'll happen to the husband.
No, he's so chill. He just like kept going as normal. And that's the other thing. I was like, Dallin, you need to pack a bag. Because I'm like, I could go into labor any second. I'm like, I need you to pack your hospital bag. My hospital bag was packed.
Yeah.
So at that
you were prepared.
I think on Wednesday my hospital bag was packed. And anyways, he's like, oh, I'm such a quick packer. He hates packing ahead of time for anything. I'm like, boy, you better be. I was like, how quick can you pack if I went into labor? He's like, 5 minutes. I'm like, okay, fine. Whatever.
Why wouldn't he just do it?
Because like, he like has this thing where he cannot pack ahead of time. Mm-hmm. Like a brain block.
He just, like, wants to procrastinate. Does he not like pack, traveling or anything?
He has to pack right before he goes somewhere. Which is part of me.
I understand that, like, for some things, but like also, toiletries.
You have to pack ahead of time.
Yeah, you need to be ready, prepared, because you don't want to pack in a panic.
Yeah. So, I'm like, okay, whatever. We went to Costco that evening. This is Thursday night. And I just knew. I was walking around Costco just, like, having these Braxton Hicks. Maybe, or actually real contractions at that point. They were real contractions. But they were mild. Like, I could still walk. And so when they say, like, if you can still walk and talk, why do I have so much focus?
Then you can just labor at home and stuff.
Yeah. And I remember, like, eating a Costco hot dogs. We ran into some friends at Costco. And I just remember everything so vividly the day before. Because I'm like, this baby is about to come out of me. Like, these are our last hours before having a baby. I just knew it.
Yeah.
So that was my last meal, was a Costco hot dog.
Yeah. The last supper.
The last supper. Costco hot dog. Honestly, that's so on theme.
I feel like that's a good life. Last supper meal. Some protein, a little bit of carbs to give you a boost.
Yeah. So,
we went to Costco to get frozen dinners.
Oh.
To prepare.
Okay.
So we're like, what can we go grab?
What did you get?
Food?
I need some good frozen dinners.
Literally couldn't tell you.
I thought it was Vivid. Just kidding.
Couldn't tell you what we bought. We probably bought nuggets. We probably bought some dumplings. I don't know.
Unimportant. Keep going.
Yeah.
And, okay, so then through the night, I started really getting contractions through the night. And I've been timing it all day Thursday, and they were kind of irregular. And they were more than 5 minutes apart. And then throughout the night, I was kind of in and out of sleep. And they were like 7 minutes apart.
And I was like, ooh, we're getting close. I like knew the baby was coming.
Could you, like, rest at all in between those contractions?
I was in and out of sleep.
Were you, like, anxious?
The contractions weren't that painful.
Yeah.
I just was really wanting to time them.
Yeah.
So I was excited, anxious.
Yeah.
And then it was like 5:45 a.m. or something. And I, like, felt like my water was breaking. So I ran out of bed to the bathroom and barely made it in time.
Uh-huh.
And I lost my mucus plug in a ton of water, which is also really rare because most people, a lot of women don't
naturally break their
naturally. Yeah. They have water. To have their water broken in the hospital. And sometimes
so did
already,
it break?
Yeah.
And you lost your mucus plug and broke your water at the same time.
Yeah.
Oh.
And it was like huge gush.
Ooh, what was it like? You know how
exactly
in movies,
what you like
yeah. how in movies, it's like water bottle, just yeah. a ton of water.
Well, that's what's so funny is like that's how it was for me was a ton, like a huge gush.
Really?
Because I know my sister and a lot of women, it's just like a trickle.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Like
it's
like,
almost like
I
you just peed
my
your
pants,
pants,
or is my water broken? And a lot of women have to have their water broken manually when they're in labor.
Yeah.
So
that's like actually super normal.
Yeah.
So I thought it was funny. I think getting my membrane stripped helped all of that
yeah.
happen. But yeah, I was really happy. I was really happy that I... One thing I was anxious about was, am I going to know when to go to the hospital?
Yeah.
And that was like, okay, we're going to the hospital. I'm so glad that I know.
Yeah.
Like, okay, it's time. So I'm like yelling at Dallin, like, Dallin, my water broke. And he jumps out of bed and packs his bag.
I'm so fast.
How did you time him? Did you time that?
Yeah, it was fast. It was probably like 5 minutes. And we just like grabbed everything,
in
grabbed
between
the
contractions.
Towels. Yeah.
But my contractions were not difficult. Like I had to breathe, but like I was still conscious and like.
Could you like remember the things that you learned in the classes in the moment? Because
yes.
Oh really?
Yes.
Like they actually helped prepare you
yeah.
in the moment.
That's I really good. Feel like I was blessed with a clear mind in my delivery.
Yeah.
So we hop in the car. I'm like sitting on a towel because it's still coming out.
Yeah.
And this is so funny that I'm like. First of all, I had a birth plan written out.
Yeah.
Grabbed the binder with all of our information on everything we'd learned in the class. So I'm missing the last class of our 6-week course.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, she refunded me. What a queen.
She did?
I didn't expect her to. I just
for
told
the
her,
whole thing?
No. For the last class.
Oh, so I was like, what?
She refunded me 1/6
oh, okay.
of what I paid for the
wow.
course. Which I was like, oh, that's like so nice of her.
That is so nice.
So...
We get to the hospital. Oh, and which, by the way, because I had switched providers, I had to switch hospitals. So I had to call. You have to, like, pre-register at the hospital you're going to give birth at.
Yeah.
So I had to call and do all of this stuff the week of. So it was crazy. So I ended up delivering at American Fork Hospital,
mm-hmm.
which was great. It was great. I've heard good things about them, and so I didn't have any worries. As long as they have a tub. And
yeah.
they do. Every delivery room has a birthing tub in
oh,
the bathroom.
Really?
Yeah, but you can't give birth in it. You can labor in the tub.
Oh, okay.
But you can't
okay.
give birth in the tub, which is all I cared about. I was like, because I had heard from my class that that's like the best thing.
Like it helps with pain.
Yes.
Did you end up using
tub.
It?
So much.
Really?
It was the
do you
only
have
thing
to,
that helped.
Like what's... This is probably a weird question, but, like, what is the temperature of the water? Is it, like,
just bath water.
Pretty warm? Or,
yeah.
like, lukewarm? Just, like...
Just warm water. Just, like, bath. Like
because I know when you're pregnant, you can't, like, get in hot water. But that's because
yeah.
you can't really regulate your temperature. But since you're probably being monitored, it's, like, okay
yeah.
for it to be...
Well, yeah, it's not as hot as a hot tub.
Did you, like, turn down the lights? Like, kind of set the mood a little bit?
Yeah, turning down the... Like, that was a big thing... Just being in a calm environment is really good for your oxytocin production.
Did you have any music playing or anything?
No.
I feel
and
like
I
would make a whole
wish,
playlist.
I kind of wish I had done more.
Yeah. Just to kind of like romanticize the whole event.
I know.
You
but
know?
Then you're also in survival mode. And once you're in labor.
You're like, I just want this to happen.
There are so many things that I thought I would care about. And you just don't.
Yeah.
Like in the moment, you just don't. So, yeah. Anyways, we get to the hospital, and this part is so funny because I'm literally waddling in there holding this towel between my legs
because my fluid is still coming out. And they are probably...
Is crazy.
They're probably so used to women being like, I'm in labor, and they're, like,
not even far along. They are so calm. I'm standing there, like, holding this towel between my legs.
What were you wearing? Like, a dress, or...?
No, just, like, sweatpants.
Yeah.
She's just so unhurried. She's like...
Like, the front desk lady?
Yeah. I'm, like, dying. She's like, what's your name? What's your
insurance? You're like, excuse me, can I get a room,
please? She's like, do you have your insurance card?
I was like, no, the sloth on Zootopia.
Literally, that's what I felt like. I'm over here dying. And she's like, okay, what's your social security number? I'm like, lady, I'm about to have this baby in the hallway. But also I knew, like, you know, it's probably going to be a while.
Yeah.
Especially with your first kid, labor process, like, can be very, very long.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I honestly don't know. I could have this baby in an hour or maybe 20 hours.
Yeah.
I have no idea. All I know is that my water broke.
Yeah. But don't you, I've heard that you want to have the baby, like, 18 hours after your water breaks, or else you'd have to get a C-section. Isn't that a thing?
It's so different
I could be wrong about the time frame, but I just know that once your water breaks, you're like, okay, I have to have this baby within 24 hours.
A lot of providers probably say that because once your water breaks, your baby can be in more distress. They're a lot more stressed.
Mm-hmm.
And so they don't want them in there for too much longer after your water breaks.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Anyway, so she finally gets me back in a room. And they're like, well, let us test. They have to test the fluid coming out of you because so many women are just peeing their pants. I'm like, no, you don't understand. I know it's amniotic fluid.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, looks like it is amniotic fluid. I'm like, no.
Was it like, okay, this is weird and a little bit TMI maybe. Was it a weird color? Or was it just clear?
I don't know. It was clear, but a little bit of blood also comes out.
Oh, okay.
So it's kind of mixed
pink.
Yeah, it's kind of mixed with blood.
And they're like, oh, looks like you are in labor. I'm like, yeah, I know.
At this point, my contractions
aren't too bad. So I get in my hospital gown. I'm feeling very calm, like just trying to be chill. And the midwife comes in, the one that I met with on Wednesday.
Yeah.
Who I loved. And she was like, hi. Like, I was so excited to see her.
So was that the only midwife that you ever saw?
Yes.
Okay.
I only had seen her. And then she happened to be at the hospital 2 days later. And I was like, what a coincidence.
And then a few minutes later, the contractions started. Because once your water breaks,
the contractions start getting worse.
And here's the thing that I did not know. The thing that I did not expect, it did not prep for, was I was still only at a 1.5
when I got to the hospital.
Oh my gosh.
So I was dilated 1.5. But my contractions were so intense.
Mm-hmm.
And I did not think that was possible. Everyone, like, it's more common to be, like, manageable contractions and still until you're at, like, dilated to 5, 6, 6.5.
And so I'm thinking, am I being a baby about this? Because I'm dying.
But it was probably because your water was broken. And a lot of the time you'll be further along dilated
when your water breaks. Exactly.
So I was like, I did not plan for this. I did not expect this.
Yeah.
So my contractions started to get real intense, real fast. And I did pretty good. Down did counter pressure. And I just, honestly, the thing that helped the most was the tub.
Yeah.
So I had to be monitored constantly because his heart rate was dropping. Because the cord was around his neck, which is scary, but it's also so common.
Yeah.
It's not something to be concerned about.
Yeah.
But they just want to monitor it in case it drops too low, then they'll do something about it. But luckily they have these new Bluetooth monitors, so you don't have to be strapped down to the bed.
That's nice.
Mm-hmm. So, I was able to walk around the room because I told them that. And this is what was really good about taking my course is you get to learn about what you can ask for and what, you know, what are your options at the hospital besides what they just tell you.
Yeah.
You know, so they were so awesome to work with. I have no complaints about the staff or anything with the hospital. I told them like, yeah, I want to be able to walk around. And they're like, okay, great. Like, we're going to monitor you for an hour. Oh, the other thing was I tested positive for group B strep, which is, I think, around 36 weeks. I don't remember when you get tested. I tested positive. So what that means is it's not bad. It's just something that's in your system sometimes when you're pregnant that can be passed to the baby.
So did you have to take an antibiotic? Or yes. What did, like, what?
So
did they have you do
first? I'm trying to remember. I think for the first hour when I got to the hospital, they monitor me and also administer antibiotics. And that's required because I had group B strep.
Yeah.
So, and that was fine. I was like, that's totally fine as long as I can like walk around afterwards.
Yeah.
So they monitored his heart rate and it still was, it was dropping depending on what position I was in. So they monitored him while I was on one side and then they monitored him while I was on the other side. And
how do they do that? Is it like through ultrasound? Do they like
It's internally? A heart rate monitor. Okay. So they put these monitors on the outside of your belly.
Okay.
And they can hear his heartbeat.
And was that through Bluetooth too, or were you strapped
down
for
that? So at first I was strapped down because those are more accurate.
Okay. And then they're like, well, let's try this Bluetooth monitor, but they're really finicky. The Bluetooth monitors. So they kind of work sometimes, but then they'll like go out and in and out. But they were really chill about it. They're like, as long as we can like kind of see his heart rate here and there, they weren't super concerned. So they were really nice about it. They let me wear the Bluetooth monitor from there on out, which was, I couldn't get submerged very far into the tub with it on.
Because it can't be submerged.
Yeah.
So I could only go so far into the tub, but it still helped a lot.
Can you like be hooked up to one and be submerged?
No.
That kind of
sucks.
The
one that you're hooked up to, you have to be in the hospital bed.
Ugh.
Yeah.
They should fix that.
I know. Well, they're trying
water,
to.
With the Bluetooth waterproof monitor. Bluetooth.
I know. Technology will just get better.
Yeah,
better,
it will.
Hopefully.
It will.
So I spent a lot of time in the tub. Honestly, that was the thing that helped the most. Dallin turned on The Office because that's like my calming.
Like more than music, The Office calms me.
That is hilarious.
Yeah, that was our plan. Dallin was like so excited. He's like, The Office is going to be the thing that helped. I'm like, yeah, you're probably right. So we got the iPad out.
I feel like I wouldn't want to be in, like laughing though while being in labor.
Like, that helped a lot of people. Like there's
I guess
different
it takes
ways
your mind off
yeah,
of
there's
it.
Different ways to produce oxytocin, which is your goal.
Yeah.
To help progress your labor without medicine.
Yeah.
One of them is like just happiness, love, and laughter.
Cuddling.
Yeah. So I'm like, The Office is perfect.
So I'm just doing my best to survive, but the contractions are so close together and they're so intense. It's hard. It's really, really hard. And my midwife was so awesome. She would come in pretty often and like she filled my tub up with water for me. She got me the peanut ball. She would put me in position. She would get me warm blankets. The other thing is it's very common to get the shakes when you're in labor, which I got really bad. So I was just like shaking constantly. It's mostly from adrenaline, but I felt cold. So she just kept getting me warm blankets and like I would try to relax, but I couldn't. So I was in and out of the bath a lot. And there was a point in time where Dallin took a nap on the couch while I was in the tub because I might have seemed like I was really relaxed, but I think I was going in and out of consciousness. I was so tired after a few hours.
Yeah.
Like the exhaustion was worse than the pain. Like I couldn't keep my eyes open, but also every 2 minutes a contraction would come.
Yeah. And you can't sleep through that at all.
So I was nodding off in the tub and Dallin took a nap, which was great. At least one of us should be well rested. You know?
Yeah.
And then my midwife asked if I wanted to try like any fentanyl. And I was like, well, what's the downside? She said that the baby does get a little bit of fentanyl. So we can only do 1 hour, but it might give you a break.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, I'm down. Maybe if I get an hour break, I'll be like rejuvenated to go.
Yeah. Again. Unfortunately, the fentanyl like barely did anything.
Oh, like you couldn't sleep
No. I was able to lay down and like almost didn't move for an hour. So I might have looked relaxed, but genuinely I was not.
Did it help with the shakes or anything?
Maybe a little bit with the shakes.
Yeah.
I don't honestly remember. But the tub helped more than the fentanyl. So anyways, after that, got back in the tub, just tried my best. I labored for 10 hours, I think. Or I was at the hospital for 10 hours before we did any intervention. So 10 hours later, I'm like maybe out of 5.
Oh.
I was at like a 4.5, 5.
Yeah.
And so we're like, oh my gosh, I'm not progressing fast at all. But still, it's faster than a lot of women.
Yeah.
The thing that they teach you in like about natural birth is that an epidural will slow you down.
Yeah.
So that's what I had believed. I'm like, I don't want to get an epidural because it's just going to make me go slower than I'm already going.
Yeah.
And so I was so like, I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. And then the midwife came in and she was like, what do you think about maybe trying some Pitocin since you're going pretty slow? And I was like, let me just think about it. And this is where I feel like I was able to see things so clearly, even though I was in so much pain.
Yeah.
I'm like so proud of myself because I feel like I could see everything so clearly. So I thought it through and I was like, if I get Pitocin, I'm going to have to get an epidural.
Yeah.
And I was like, I might as well just get an epidural because I just wanted to rest.
Yeah.
I was like, I need to get some rest because I genuinely don't think I can push a baby out of me because I have no energy. Like I was going in and out of consciousness. I was so tired because I hadn't slept the day before, you know. And at this point, it's almost evening the next day. And Dallin knew my birth plan. I never pulled out my paper, by the way. I felt silly pulling out this paper. I'm like,
for nurses and stuff.
Yeah, I'm like, why don't I just tell them what I want?
Yeah. So I never pulled it out. I never used my birth plan. I just told them what I wanted and it was great. So
I told Dal and I'm like, and I could, at this point, I literally couldn't talk. I was like, could barely get a whisper out. And so I'm like, Dal, I want an epidural. He's like, are you sure? Because he knew how badly I wanted to try to deliver naturally. So he was so nice. Like,
you're like, I've done it for 10 hours. That's long enough.
I was like, I'm sure. So he was, next time we saw the midwife, he told her and she's like, okay. So she's like, do you want me to call him in? I think the guy that administers epidurals is an anesthesiologist.
Oh,
is that right?
Probably. Yeah. Cause it's like, anyways,
numbing or whatever.
So she called him.
I have no idea.
And he was there so fast. I was like, I love you. I've never loved a human more than that guy.
Do they have to stay in there or do they just like frequently come and like check in?
He just comes and gives it to you and then leaves basically. So
anyways, so I was like, I don't want Pitocin. I just want an epidural.
Yeah.
And so he came in, stuck the needle in my back, which luckily, Dallin, he's not squirmish.
Yeah. He likes things like this. He likes seeing surgeries.
Does he okay watch it?
He watched him put the needle in my back.
Uh-huh.
And he kept asking, like, and I would, but they numb you first. So they numb your back.
Yeah. I can feel the needle in there, and it's painful.
I've actually gotten an epidural needle before to get a cortisone shot in my back.
Oh, my gosh.
And they put, like, the lidocaine shot hurt worse than the epidural because the lidocaine numbs it.
Because it numbs you.
Uh-huh.
Right.
But, like, I felt like they were wiggling that thing around a bunch to put the lidocaine everywhere, and then they stick the needle, and it's big. Like, it's a big needle.
So Dallin was, like, afterwards, after all was said and done, he was like, that needle was massive. And it's because it's a catheter.
Mm.
So the needle is big because it's a needle that they stick a tube through.
Yeah.
So that I can administer my own epidural. Yeah.
You're like, press that button a million times.
Yeah. So, the lidocaine shot is the worst part.
Could you feel like the
epidural fluid going in you at all?
But I could feel the needle. It wasn't painful, but I could feel where the needle is because he was like, does that feel centered? Uh-huh. And I was like, no, it feels a little bit to left. And then he's like, tries to redo it. So he's jamming this needle in me probably 4 times.
What?
And Dallin was like, it was crazy because it was so big. But for me, it didn't hurt.
Yeah, because you were numb.
But yeah, the lidocaine shot is pretty painful, but compared to my contractions, I was like, this is literally nothing.
Yeah.
Any of the pain I felt outside the contractions was so minimal. I was like, you guys, you don't understand. This is nothing. He's like, are you okay? I'm like, this is great. This is fantastic.
You're like, I can finally rest.
The other thing that's so funny about an epidural is that they have to go through an extensive, like, legal,
like, contract.
Yes, which you probably had to do.
Yeah,
if you got one.
Yeah.
And so I'm laying there dying, like, stick the needle in me. Stuff. And he's like talking as fast as he can, going through the contract because he has to say it verbally to me, and I'm laying there dying. And like going through it so fast, I have no idea what he said. I was like, yes, 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 I'm okay with that. Yes, yes, yes. I sign it, scribble. I don't even know what I signed. So fast. He's probably used to it. He was so nice.
Were you laying on your side? Like, how did they administer
the epidural? You have to sit on the side of the bed with your legs off.
Okay.
And you kind of bend forward. Like, he's like, okay, now lean forward. And then he, like, jams it into you.
Oh.
And so he finally got it in there. And then in a few minutes, honestly, it wasn't that I didn't want to feel. It's not that I didn't want to feel things. I just needed a break from the contractions.
Yeah.
They are and you were so exhausting.
Tired. Yeah. So, finally, you know, 10 hours in, I get this epidural, and it's great.
I loved it. Did it make so you much?
Loopy at all? Like, could you wiggle your toes? Could you feel anything from the waist down?
Yeah, so I told him, and this is another thing that was good to know. I told him, like, I still want to be able to feel things.
Yeah.
I was like, I just don't want to feel the contractions.
Yeah. I'm like, but I want to feel down there. And he was like, great. So they will adjust your dosage. And then it will wear off. And if you want to press the button, you will get more.
Okay.
So I was in control, kind of. And so I chose, I don't think I pressed the button again. I might have once.
Yeah.
But at this point, after I got the epidural, I was able to relax. I had the shakes so bad that I couldn't sleep. But I was able to rest, and I was, like, so happy. I got on my phone for the first time in 10 hours and was, like, responding to all the text messages. Mm-hmm. I was, you know, eating some snacks, which I wasn't supposed to, but I don't really care.
Why not, though? Why?
I don't know. They tell you you can't eat.
Just in case you have to get, like, a C-section.
Yeah, it's just in case. Mm-hmm. But I'm, like,
plenty of people have emergency surgeries and they ate a bunch of crap beforehand.
Yeah.
Anyways, so I would sneak snacks when the nurses weren't looking. But then when I got the epidural, I kind of stopped because I was like, maybe I can't. I don't know. Yeah. She's like, I'm so sorry. You can only have liquid. I'm like, okay, fine. I was so hungry though. And it was so awesome because at that point, Dallin's sister, who lived really close to the hospital, was like, hey, you guys know that the hospital kitchen is going to close. And so you guys should have something ready to go in case she gives birth and then she needs something to eat.
Yeah.
Which was honestly the best thing ever. So she brought us Jimmy John's or whatever, put them in the fridge. And sure enough, like after I had the baby, the kitchens were closed.
That was probably the best sandwich.
Oh my gosh.
When you ate it.
It was. So here's the thing, the craziest thing about my okay, not the craziest thing, but one crazy thing is after I got the epidural, I progressed so fast.
Mm-hmm. And I was like, which is not normal. Like, it's always the opposite. And that's what you thought.
That's what I was led to believe.
Yeah.
Was that if I get an epidural, I will progress slower.
Yeah.
And it was opposite for me. And so I was like, are you kidding me? Like, why did no one tell me this?
Like, I could have gotten this so much sooner.
I just feel like the natural birth world can be a little biased. Mm-hmm. And I've learned that now. So I feel like my standing is somewhere in between.
So how long did it take you and, like, how much did you progress after the epidural?
Before the epidural, I was, what, like, 5, 5.5?
Yeah.
And then it only took a couple hours to get to a 10 after the epidural.
Could you sleep at all?
I didn't sleep. I wish I did, but I was just the resting.
Yeah.
It was like finally being able to breathe. I honestly don't think I would have been able to push a baby out of me if I hadn't have gotten that rest.
Yeah.
Like I needed that. So I rested, chilled out. Something that's so funny is my friends and I had planned to hang out that night.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, I'll be there unless I'm in the hospital giving birth, LOL. This was like earlier in the week.
Here you are.
And then they're like, oh my gosh, do you actually think you might be? I'm like, I don't know, I might be.
Yeah.
I think that was the maybe the day I got my membrane stripped. So I was kind of like, I could be.
Yeah.
And it was so funny because I was like texting them like, sorry guys, I'm not going to make it tonight. And they're like, what?
I remember getting kind of like a little play-by-play too. Didn't you?
Yeah, I think I was texting you. I was texting so many people. Uh-huh. But yeah, then I was at a 10 and then... Unfortunately, the midwife that was helping me all day, she was like, I'm so sad because, like, we're switching shifts. She's like, so she barely missed my delivery.
Oh. By, like, an hour.
Oh, that's so sad. And so another midwife came in. I barely talked to her, but she was fine. Like, I have...
Like, you're delivering my baby. Yep. Nice to meet you.
She basically just came in and delivered my baby.
Mm-hmm.
So she came in. And right before I started pushing, I told her, I was like, okay, my priorities here are to do what's best for the baby.
Yeah.
And because the cord was wrapped around his neck, I was a little bit more motivated to get him out fast.
Yeah.
Which also changed my plan. Because something else that is really big in the natural birth world is breathing through your pushing. Instead of holding your breath and counting to 10 like they tell you to do in the hospital.
Yeah.
Because they're like, first of all, it's really bad for your pelvic floor.
Wait, they tell you to hold your breath and count to 10?
Yeah.
When you're in a contraction? Or yeah. When you're pushing?
Both. Yes.
Oh.
So you push during the contractions.
Yeah.
And that's what they tell you to do. And a lot of people are like, that's so bad for you. Like, it's so bad for your pelvic floor.
And
like,
then you're going to tear easier. And so
have you heard this is so, so random and I don't know if it's true, but have you heard, I think we've talked about this, where your like area down there mimics your mouth, like your lips.
Yes.
And so like people will try to like relax their mouth.
Yeah. And your whole face.
Yeah. And I wonder if that works. I mean, I'm sure. Let's try now. It kind of worked.
So they would actually tell me to relax my face if my forehead would start to get too, oh,
okay.
Like, furrow.
So they did tell you.
Yeah, so your whole face is important. So anyways, I told her, hey, look, this is my priority. I want to do what's best for the baby.
Mm-hmm.
My second priority is to not tear so much.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what can we do?
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, I always do warm compress. Great.
Did that
I
help?
That.
Like, did it soothe it? Or you probably couldn't feel.
I don't even know. I couldn't feel my contractions at this point, but I'm like, she said, the other thing I do is to, I will move you on your side, usually after the head is out.
Mm.
I'm like, okay, that'd be great. Because one thing, I forgot to bring this up earlier, but one thing I also really wanted to avoid was giving birth on my back.
Yeah.
I did not, for the life of me, want to give birth on my back.
Well, because it's just not the most
it's
natural
the worst,
way.
It's the worst position.
Yeah.
They do that so it's convenient for everyone else.
Yeah.
But once I had the epidural, I was like, well, what am I supposed to do? Because uh-huh. You can't feel it. Like, I'm like, I don't
you
think.
You can't move your legs.
Yeah. I'm like, I don't think I am allowed to switch positions because how am I supposed to hold myself up when I can't feel my legs?
Yeah.
So I just went with it and I asked her, like, what can we do? She's like, I mean, we can do on your side. And I was like, yeah. That would be great. I was like, please, let's do that. But she ended up not switching me. I was just on my back the whole time. But I think it's because, but also, I don't know. It went so fast. So I was pushing for a total of 25 minutes, mm-hmm. Which is actually pretty good.
I feel like that's not that long.
No. So I honestly, and once the head was out, the rest was so easy mm-hmm. that I'm like, it probably wouldn't have made a difference if I had gone on my side. Because after the head was out, everything was
so you were
super
on
easy.
Your back the whole until time. The head was out.
No, the whole time.
Oh. So you never switched to your
I
side.
Never switched. That's why I was, like, confused. Because she said that she was going to switch me.
Yeah.
But then didn't.
And I was like, maybe it was just because I went so fast.
Yeah, probably.
And everything after that happened so fast that it was over.
Yeah.
So I'm like,
did you have your feet in like the...
I had one nurse holding one leg and foot, and then Dallin holding the other leg and foot. And they, like, push your knees up to your shoulders.
Yeah, so you're, like, in happy baby.
Yeah.
Probably so uncomfortable. Yeah.
So, going back a little bit, I let my epidural kind of wear off. Mm-hmm. So, I could actually feel my legs at this point.
Yeah.
I started to be able to feel the contractions a little bit into pushing, but that was good. I liked being able to feel when I had a contraction because I'm like, oh, it's time to push. Like, I'm getting contraction. Yeah. When you can't feel your contractions, they can see your contractions on the monitor. Mm-hmm. So they're like, you're having a contraction right now. Let's push.
Did you, because I know a lot of women are like, don't push until you feel ready to push. Because sometimes when you're dilated to a 10, they'll be like, okay, it's time. But like, you physically don't feel ready. Could you?
That was the other thing. As like, I wanted to wait. I wanted to wait till I felt the urge, and I wanted to breathe through my pushing because that's what I had been taught. But with the epidural, it changed everything because I'm like, I can't feel anything. So I'm not going to feel the urge to push.
Yeah.
And also, I wanted him out.
So could you not?
So when I started pushing, get that urge. I couldn't feel anything. Mm-hmm. I didn't have any urge.
It did change quite a bit throughout those 25 minutes. So before the head was out, I started to be able to feel more. I could feel the ring of fire. I could feel down there.
I was screaming. Like, I could feel the pain.
Yeah.
I just couldn't feel
the contractions as much. Well, I could, but they weren't as painful. But that's what I wanted. I wanted to be able to feel it because then I started getting the urge to push. So in between contractions, I physically couldn't not push. Mm-hmm. Like, and they were like, yeah, that's normal. They're like, so we can do little baby pushes in between. Because, like, you physically can't not at some point, at one, you know, once you get to a certain point.
Yeah.
The other thing that was really funny is when I started pushing, they were doing the thing where they were like, hey, hold your breath, count to 10 and push really hard. You're going to use the same muscles as if you're pooping.
Yeah.
For 10 seconds. And I was trying to fake it. So I would, like, breathe through my nose secretly.
They're like, you're not doing it right.
So I was trying to breathe because I really wanted to breathe through the pushing.
Yeah.
And they're like, no, that one's not working. Like, you're not using the right muscles. Like, it's not working. It's not working. I was like, dang it. So I just held my breath and did it. And they're like, that was so awesome. It's working. It's working. So then I was like, okay. Like,
yeah.
What am I supposed to do here? Like, so then I just held my breath and pushed because I'm like, get this child out of me as fast as possible.
Yeah.
So that's the other thing that changed. You know, when you're in it, there's so many factors that come into play.
Yeah, you're just like, I'm done with this. Yeah. Let's let it happen.
And it was just funny. Like, I couldn't push without holding my breath. I wasn't able to use the right muscles or push hard enough to make any progress if I didn't hold my breath.
Yeah.
Which I was like, gosh, dang
which
it.
Is so, that's so interesting.
Maybe if I had waited longer, did that would have changed.
Did you poop? Do you know?
I don't think so, no.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Downside, I didn't, unless he's lying.
Yeah.
But no, I
but didn't. They clean it up fast. They have those, like, little doggy potty mat things.
Yeah, and they just,
they just switch it out. But yeah, I pushed for 25 minutes. It was really painful. Mm-hmm. And but it was great, and then it was over, and then they were really awesome. Their standard procedures are like immediate skin to skin.
Oh,
so they don't take him away, they don't wash him, they just immediate skin to skin as soon as he's out. And then,
like, and that probably gives you a little bit of a delayed cord clamp. Did you?
Yes. Yeah, so delayed cord clamping was also one of the midwife group's standard standards. So I didn't have to ask for that. I knew they were going to do delayed cord clamping.
How long, like, is their standard procedure for that? Do you know?
Like, honestly,
is it like a minute and a half.
The blood actually drains out very quickly from the cord.
It was probably 2 minutes, not super long. But after those 2 minutes, like, the blood is all gone, basically. Mm-hmm. So then they clamp it, and Dallin cut the cord. And then they were so nice. They were like, let us know, like, when you want us to take him and weigh him and do the checks.
So they, like, let you do your thing. Yeah. That's awesome.
And I was like, I really wanted him, like, to see how much he weighed and stuff.
Yeah.
So I didn't want to wait too long, but I'm like, I want to hold him while she stitches me up so that I have like a distraction.
Yeah. Cause was he okay with the cord around his neck? Like, did it take a minute to get him to cry, or did he cry right away?
He cried right away. They just, as soon as he comes out, I remember watching them unwrap. And it was just wrapped like once. It wasn't anything crazy.
That's good.
I feel like I had a really short cord.
Really?
Because I could barely get him up to my chest.
Oh.
I was like, he was like down here. And then so. You have to birth the placenta yeah. Too. Which was actually really easy. Some people are like, oh my gosh, it's like a whole second birth child. And I'm like, no, it was easy. I pushed once and it was out.
Was it like right after he came out, or how long did that take? Okay.
Like 2 minutes.
So you were holding him and then came out and then they sewed you up?
Yeah. And that part was pretty painful because I could feel everything. So when she was stitching me up, I could feel it.
Oh.
And she was like, do you want me to numb you? And she's like, if I numb you, I'm just going to like put another needle. Like, it was going to be a lidocaine shot. And I'm like, you know what? Just do it as fast as you. I'm like, just get it done.
So she just did it. But honestly, like I said before, any type of pain like that compared to what I was going through with the contractions felt like nothing.
Yeah.
So I was like, nope, you're fine. It's totally fine. Because as long as I couldn't feel the contractions, I was like, this is fine. Because the contractions were the craziest thing I've ever experienced. Like, literally. Anyway, so she stitched me up. And afterwards, I was like, okay, you can weigh him. And I tried to nurse him. I wish I had tried more. I just really didn't know what I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
But he did try to nurse Latch for a little bit. And then I had them take him for a second to weigh him. And then that was that. That's pretty much all of it. The other thing that was interesting was it's pretty standard to get Pitocin afterwards.
Oh, really? Just to kind of help you go back into place?
Yes. Or? So the Pitocin they administer after you give birth is to help contract your uterus to shrink back down, and also to get the rest of like the blood out.
Mm-hmm.
So when you... And the contractions after I gave birth were actually pretty intense still. I didn't know that. Yeah. So when you nurse, like when I was nursing him in the hospital, I would get contractions. So that triggers your contractions and they're pretty painful. But not as bad. Anyways, I was really lucky because they didn't give me Pitocin afterwards.
Mm.
They said there was a Pitocin shortage.
Oh, wow.
But I was also like, was anyone going to ask me, or is this just they didn't even ask me. They're just like, the midwife was like, did you give her Pitocin? And they were like, oh no, we're not doing that right now because of the shortage. Like, we only do it if they really need it. Mm. She was like, okay. I was like, nobody discussed this with me.
Yeah, but all right, whatever. I didn't know that crazy. Was a thing.
But I guess it really does help everything go more smoothly.
The natural process of breastfeeding would just help.
Yeah. I know.
It seems like that's right. Already happening.
Yeah. I mean, some babies have a hard time latching and stuff, so I don't really know. All I know is that they didn't give me Pitocin afterwards, so I got Pitocin at no point in the process, which I, like, love. Because my body did really good after.
Yeah.
I like, my uterus shrunk down exactly how it was supposed to. I was bleeding a very normal amount. I wasn't losing too much blood.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all of my blood loss was totally normal.
How long do you feel like it took you to totally heal where you felt comfortable to like exercise and do like normal things? Because I know the standard is 6 weeks, but
yeah, I felt pretty, honestly, I felt pretty good after 4 weeks.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, looking back, I'm like, I did not feel good, but in the moment I was like, I feel great.
Yeah.
Like, I wanted to exercise, but I waited until 6 weeks.
Yeah. Was it pretty painful just like cleaning that area, going to the bathroom after?
I did have a pretty hard recovery with the stitches. Just for 2 weeks, it's so tender you just like can't even sit.
Oh,
so yeah, I tore and like it's fine. I really didn't want to, but it's like it is what it is.
Yeah.
With your first, especially, like,
yeah,
you're probably gonna tear and you just have to accept that that's fine and it's normal. And I healed normally. I think it's pretty uncomfortable for 2 weeks. But
I feel like that's not too bad, too long.
Yeah.
You have an excuse to just like lay in bed and do nothing, you know?
Yeah. So overall, That's pretty much the whole story.
Yeah.
But overall, good experience. I'm,
like I said, I'm like an in-between now because I realized, you know what? I loved getting an epidural because that's what helped me. That's what my body needed to progress.
Mm-hmm.
But
just like some relaxation. Yeah.
But it's not for everyone.
You know? I don't know. I just think it's good to go with the flow. And also I didn't expect like for the cord to be around his neck. And
yeah.
So I was very motivated to like get him out faster.
That's pretty good because there can be so many other complications. I feel like that's a pretty normal, good complication.
Yeah, overall, everything went super smooth. And I was so happy with everything. Like I didn't have any birth trauma, which I am very lucky.
Because yes. A lot of people do have birth trauma and they like can't talk about it for like a forever, long time after.
And it's like fuzzy in their mind. I feel like you remembered that really easily. And yeah. Like you said, you had a clear mind.
It helps too that I recounted that experience to so many people afterwards.
Yeah, like pretty totally.
Quickly. So I do remember mostly everything. But I'm glad that we recorded this because now I'm going to have a permanent record of my birth story, which is great.
And now Jensen's 1.5.
He's so big.
It's so crazy. He's so cute.
But
healthy, happy boy.
Like with my next birth, like what did I learn? What am I going to do different? Honestly, I think I'm going to go into it exactly the same. It's like I'm going to try to go natural as long as possible. And if I have to get an epidural, great.
Yeah.
But a lot of people with their second child are able, like, go way faster. So maybe I'll be able to go natural.
Yeah.
Because I won't have to wait so long.
Yeah, maybe, totally. Maybe, like, you progress faster. Anyways, that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
But do you have any other questions?
I don't think so. I feel like I tried to ask them all along the way.
Yeah.
But I just love hearing birth stories, like, good, bad, even just to prepare myself, but I also just find it so interesting. Yeah. I think some of our listeners will too. I know.
You also were one of the first people to tell me about hypnobirthing, and we did a little bit of hypnobirthing in my class.
Yeah.
But
did you get the chance to like actually practice it while you were in labor?
No.
Yeah.
No. But The thing I really loved about preparing for birth was practicing mindfulness,
yeah,
just kind of like meditation. But I just felt like it helped me in all aspects of life, like being able to like center myself and be like, okay, how does my body feel right now? And also to be in control of my own mind,
yeah,
and be able to say, okay, I'm just gonna focus on my breathing. And, like, try not to let my mind wander. But if it does, like, that's okay, too.
But do you feel like that was your biggest takeaway from the whole experience? Or what would you say, like, this was the most monumental, like, thing that I'm going to remember from the whole thing?
That's a hard thing to answer. I think, like, the biggest thing, the biggest advice I would give people is exactly what I said before, is have an open mind.
Yeah, totally.
It's the people who are so set on one way or another that end up being unhappy with their birth experience.
Yeah.
Because they didn't get exactly what they wanted. But it's not always going to end up like that. Like, there's going to be things that happen and complications, and you have to be open. And for the sake of your baby, seriously, people, just like have an open mind, please.
Yeah.
I know the providers might push medical intervention on you, but sometimes they do know what they're talking about.
Sometimes
they really do know what they're talking about. So listen to your providers, okay?
Yeah.
Also, use a midwife. 100,000%. Unless you have a specific OB that you know, that you love, and that you have a great relationship with, do the midwife. Because they are seriously the best. Midwives are they have to be a nurse practitioner first, and then they have to go through midwifery school, which is pretty extensive.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, I swear, midwives are angels from heaven. They are the best.
And they can do everything a doctor can do.
Are like most
almost
of them,
everything.
Are most of them women? Like, are there any men midwives?
I've never heard of a male midwife ever.
And I just, that makes me so much more comfortable because they've experienced the female body and everything that goes
just
with
a,
it.
A woman's touch. They just have that motherly instinct, even the if nurture. They're not a mother yet. Yeah. They're just the best. And I just prefer women, and that's just what I'm comfortable with. But I've always had a woman doctor.
Yeah.
So I'd never, like, had a male doctor like that before, and I didn't, I was like, I don't love that.
I do have one more question.
Yeah.
Do you feel like your brain chemistry, you could say, changed a little bit after you became a mother? Because I know some women are like, oh, I would do certain things before I became a mother, and then after, it all changed.
I think more mentally, yeah. Like, you definitely are a different person. It changes your life totally in every way. Like, but who, like, the things I do aren't really that different.
Yeah. But it's like
I'm
now.
Still the same person.
Now you have this life that you have to take care of, and there's just like, I know certain women are like, I would never do that now that I'm a mother because I have to like take care of my children and I have a family. And
somebody asked me the other, wasn't it you? Yeah, it was, you said, would you ever go skydiving? And there are a few things like that where I'm like, I might do it, but also I'm way less likely
to do dangerous stuff because I'm just like, there's no way I could, like, that would be terrible if something happened to me.
Yeah.
It would be so bad for my family if anything ever happened to me. So now I'm more motivated to, like, make smart decisions. Thanks for listening. Let us know if you have any questions.
Give us a follow on Instagram, eb.pod. Like and subscribe.
Like and subscribe.
Give us a rating and review, too. That helps us as well.
Yep.
And thanks for listening.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye.